Welcome into the Persuasion Lab. I'm your host, Martin Medeiros, and once a week I open up the lab to help you experiment with negotiation strategy and tactics. Whether you're in the boardroom or at the dinner table, I'm here to help you get your needs met through the power of persuasion. Before we jump into today's episode, I want to take a moment to let you know that the fully outfitted Digital Persuasion Lab is open. The lab is a distillation of negotiation systems that work, which I've honed over decades in the field to help you secure your best outcome. Whatever your current skill set, there's something for you in the lab. If you're a negotiation neophyte looking to build a foundation of skills, we have a 100% free tier to help you dip your toe into the waters of persuasion. If you're a budding negotiation pro and just want a little bit of support to polish your tactics, check out the premium subscription level with content and tools available every month. Meanwhile, if you're doing deals on a daily basis and are ready to finally hit those numbers in the new year, the Premium Plus level is for you. This is an exclusive membership community whose doors open for a limited time on February 16th. Stay tuned after the episode for more information about what's included for members of the Premium Plus Persuasion Lab community, including details about access to one-on-one feedback on your specific negotiations, something my clients pay a premium for. For more information on any of these levels, feel free to drop us a line at info@negotiationstrategist.com, or better yet, simply head over to thepersuasionlab.com to get started. In the meantime, let's dive in to today's episode. Negotiation you deal with probably every day is with your significant other, And part of my shtick in my workshops and live courses, I always talk about who here is a professional negotiator. You know, a few people raise their hands. Who here negotiates all the time? You know, maybe a couple more. Then I say, how many people consider them an expert negotiator? And of course, one guy usually will raise their hand. And then I say, who here has ever had a significant other? And generally, most people raise their hand. And even if they've never had a significant other, they raise it anyway for peer pressure, probably. But, and then the big punchline is, well, these are the expert negotiators. Because it is, when you live with someone, when you have a relationship with someone, there is constant give and take, empathy, persuasion going on to make yourself livable and more conducive to getting things done together, to having that social connection and companionship. That is persuasion. You're doing things automatically that are very persuasive. Another example is my favorite, which is negotiating with teenagers. Now, teenagers present a interesting challenge because a few things are happening. Those of you in the listening audience who were parents know that from kind of age birth to, you know, 12-ish, 13-ish, and boys generally, they are pretty self-directed, respectful, not kind of getting along with things and looking at you as the authority. But a wonderful thing happens when you're a teenager. You're coming into your adulthood and you have to assert and developmentally do things that are very different. And this can shock the parents. And sometimes that protective nature that a parent has morphs into this thing of, I can't believe they're saying those things. What's going on? A few things are happening. It's developmental. And One thing that's very important is their frontal cortex, their executive function, is not fully developed. So you can think that teenagers notoriously make bad decisions in part because they don't even have the hardware. Your frontal cortex probably stops growing somewhere between the ages of 22 and 25, I'm told by neurologists. And if you don't have all the equipment, you're not going to make the best high reasoning function. And that's a problem we have with teenagers. Now, given all that, your job is to persuade them, even though they don't have a full set of equipment neurologically, to make good life choices when you're not there. Now, this is challenging and nerving, and for a parent like me who's very stressed about safety and all these things when my children were teens, I would want to try to have them make good decisions. And you don't always want to play the fear and horror card. What you don't want to do is do the lie card. If you do this behavior, bad things will happen. You want them to not pick up that alcoholic beverage when they're a minor. You want them not to step into that car with a friend who may be under the influence, because you're not going to be there. So how do you do that? I'm not a child psychologist, obviously, but you basically have to influence, persuade that teen that they have to make decisions. And the big thing about teens is for you to morph from the I am the parent of a minor child into I'm the parent of a minor child who is figuring out this executive function, this adulthood, and how to respect them and empathize with where they are. And one of the good things is always open up with, hey, being a teen these days can be very difficult. There's a lot of distractions. I get it. There were some in my age, but there's a lot more in yours. Whether or not that's true, I mean, it's always, every generation thinks they're special and things are totally different. That's not always the case. But empathizing with this brand new experience that teens go through every day and empathizing that really helps them listen to you in a more intentful way. Because if you just dictate to them, they will tune you out. They get that in class all day. So it's very important to empathize before you start the diatribe. That's one persuasive technique that you may think, hey, I'm not a negotiator. Well, if you've ever raised a teen, you are a professional negotiator, I will tell you. Now, so let's kind of take on this theme. That teen goes into college or some type of higher learning, and they have teachers, or they go into maybe even in high school. There is a negotiation to be had with teachers. Teachers have some subjective assessment and ability to influence grades, how they present materials, these other things. And this is an influential activity, especially in college. And I've had to advocate for myself in college when I remember I was taking a psychology class as an undergrad, and there was a question that required knowledge of zoology. I was, to my ignorance, the book I read said, chimpanzees exhibited this behavior. And the question on the test was, apes exhibited this behavior, and I selected none of the above because it was a chimpanzee. Well, my ignorance was chimpanzees are part of what's called great apes in some zoological knowledge I didn't have. And I argued that, hey, I should be given that grade. And that was the difference between a B and an A, a B plus and an A minus on that test. And the professor, to his credit, said, you know, you're right. This does test zoology knowledge, not psychology, because the book, in fact, said chimpanzees. And you would have to know that a chimpanzee is not a grade eight. You're kind of an idiot for not knowing it, but I'm going to give you the grade anyway. So that was an advocacy that things come day in and day out with teachers and professors. That's part of advocacy. That's reasoning. And one of the themes we talk about in the Persuasion Lab is people are much more likely to agree with you if you give them a reason why you're taking a position, not just demanding the position, but giving them a reason. It helps people go along. And this is a result of the, for want of a better term, the photocopy studies, where there was a queue in front of a photocopier and the subjects were told to give the person in front of them some reason. Some people said, hey, I only have one copy. Can I cut in line? Sure you can. And then these counterintuitive things where people would allow people to cut in line. I think one was something ridiculous like, I have a puppy at home. Can I cut in front of you? What does that have to do with copying? Nothing. Or there was one that was totally counterfactual. I have a big stack of photocopying. Can I get in front of you because your stack is smaller? And they let them cut in. So we don't think about the logic sometimes, but that reason helps us be more agreeable. Another area of persuasion, politicians. Okay, politicians are generally people who are extroverts, generally people who like to be in front of people. That motivates them. Persuading them has to have a nexus of, it's a little bit about them. And this is not to say that politicians are villainized. I have a tremendous amount of respect for politicians because they're in the arena. It is really tough with everything that's going on to be a politician, to say, hey, I want to take a leadership. It's a tough job. I'm going to be under a microscope. The media is not always friendly to me, on and on and on. But they still put that themselves into the ring because of this need for public service that they have. So, but politicians influence and can be influenced. And that's, of course, what the lobbying industry is. And there's always a nexus on constituents, the re-election, funding, all these things, at least in American politics, that come into place. And touching on those things in what's in it for them, what's in it for that politician, is a persuasive thing. And there's something else in politics. So I've done different public service in my life. I was elected to the Small Business Advisory Council for the city of Portland. Years ago, I was on the Volunteer Budget Committee, and I was on the stage with Tom Potter, Mayor Potter, once, and we were doing kind of the roadshow to roll out the budget. And I was shocked at how many people would get up on stage and just vent in front of the mayor, who had a tremendous amount of respect for us. He was a former police chief and really genteel and affable individual. And one thing I think is, I said, is this always like this? He said, yeah. I said, the biggest thing a politician has to do is listen to people. And sometimes it's not pretty. Sometimes it's frustrating. But that type of listening, thoughtful aspect is one thing I generally respected Mayor Potter because he was not, you know, an activist or this very, limbic type of politician you see today, who's very thoughtful and basically knew that frustrated constituents wanted to be heard. They didn't feel like they were heard, and he listened to them. And some of them were quite rude. I was shocked, but that's the life of a politician. So I think what we're looking at with politicians is you've got to show up. If you show up and testify at a hearing, town hall meeting, school board, when you speak up, they listen, because many people don't. And I kind of learned quickly that the people who show up generally get listened to. And it doesn't have to be the most brilliant argumentation. It just has to be relaying, here's the issue, here's why it's so, here's how it impacts me, and I'm a constituent. Very simple persuasion thing, and it works. The older I get, the more I believe in the United States and the Democratic Republic we are in, how the individual can make a difference. I believe that firmly. And if you're a persuader, a negotiator, an influencer, you've got to feel connected with getting politicians to recognize what the truth is. I think the truth is very important in how we negotiate, if you've been listening to this podcast. So finally, I want to close on some other individuals we negotiate with, and these are in the corporate setting. Members of an LLC, partners in a partnership, shareholders, the board of directors, getting people on board to the direction of the company, having good references and source material on why that organization should take one direction or another is a persuasive activity. Yeah, those of you who sit on boards of directors, we're hiring a new executive. Why do you like the person? Why not? What are you looking for? Not just a general thing. Do you have a track record? Because that's the one determining factor, I should say, of whether or not you can predict outcomes or, quote, read people, and that is time spent. The fresh new breeze coming into town in the company is one thing, but if you have someone in your organization who's actually known them for a year or more, that's much better data than a resume, than an interview, than a very impressive presentation. And those are the things that you would think, but I don't negotiate, but you really do. If you've ever had a job, if you've ever had a contract to work for, if you've ever had a significant other, if you've ever raised a teenager, if you've ever talked to a teacher or a professor, if you've ever talked to a politician or been a politician, if you've ever had a business relationship as a partner, shareholder, member in an LLC, board of director, or a fellow C-level executive, these are all constant negotiations that you do each and every day. So if you think you don't negotiate, think again. We have examples of non-negotiations that actually are negotiations, and that is what I'll leave you with in the Persuasion Lab. And remember, we communicate our needs to the world using influence, persuasion, and negotiation, and how effective we are at using those techniques determines if, in fact, our needs are met. Thank you for joining me on this week's podcast. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet, please take a moment and hit subscribe and leave us a review and a rating wherever you're listening. Also, before you go, I wanted to take a minute and give you some more info about the Premium Plus Persuasion Lab community. This is something I'm thrilled to provide, as it reduces the cost to learn professional negotiation while providing exceptional resources and direct feedback so that you can hit whatever goals you've set for 2021. Like you heard, doors will open only for a limited time with only 20 spots available. On February 16th, the Premium Plus community is a high-touch, low-risk, and high-reward community. You're going to have access, one-on-one feedback, at monthly office hours with me, and build a mastermind group of other professional negotiators to help you level up your skills even faster, and monthly in-depth masterclasses on topics most relevant to community members. To get on the wait list, to have a first crack at getting in the door, send me an email at martin@negotiationstrategist.com or head to the link in the show notes. We can't wait to see you in the lab.